What if the parts a radio is built of do not look like this, but what if electronic components are knitted? Like, what does change in the aesthetics, in the design, in the look, and even like in the feel of how a radio feels? So instead of these components that you see here, we started exploring these materials and how they can be combined in knitted pattern to form the exact same functionality like these. So we had a look at wool, silk and stainless steel blend, and copper wire, and we're exploring different patterns and how these different patterns would eventually form different functionalities. So what you see here in the middle, the silk and stainless steel is a thread that is made from spun silk and stainless steel. And as the stainless steel thread in this silk spun yarn is very thin, it has a very specific resistance over distance. So if you come up with a knitting pattern where you make sure that the individual threads don't cross each other too much, you can pretty much predict how much you need to knit in order to reach a certain resistance value. So that's that was fairly easy. So the next big challenge for us was then how to not only knit the resistors, but how to also knit the capacitors. And after a lot of experiments on a domestic knitting machine, or domestic knitting machine from the 70s, punch card operated domestic knitting machine, to be more precise, for those knowledgeable about knitting machines among you, you will definitely recognize the patterning of these samples as being punch card operated patterns. Well, coming back to what we wanted to build, we wanted to knit a capacitor. So looking at how a capacitor is built up, a capacitor consists of two conductive areas and them being separated by a very thin layer. So we were experimenting a lot and using, in this case, a copper wire, enamel copper wire. So it has a fine coating, which is sort of separating the two conductive branches, and starting knitting different patterns and measuring those different patterns and being very, very excited to see that actually it makes a difference what pattern we knit with this material to reach different capacitor values. So once we found that out, it was like, great. So we cannot only knit the resistors, we can also knit the capacitors for our radio. And then there was a third component we tried to knit. That was the coil. That also like was a lot of like, how can we do that? How can we translate this coiled pattern into a knitted pattern? And in the end, it turned out for the functionality that we specifically needed for this project, it was enough to just have four stitches of the very same copper wire that we used for the capacitor. So we ended up with like three different knitting patterns. And what you see here on the left side is this knitting pattern that I had explained before for the resistor, where you have like every second stitch knit out of this stainless steel material. This knitting pattern on the bottom right with this tilted rectangle shapes, which I don't know what the English name is right now, which is the pattern for the capacitor. And then these four stitches that you also see on the left side for the coil. And the idea was to also, like, as we changed the material for making a radio, to also change the instructions for how to make a radio and not have this standard established electronic schematic that we saw at the very beginning, where you see how different components are connected to each other, but to convey the exact same knowledge of how to connect the components, or in this case, how to connect individual materials that build up the components to each other, but presented in a language that especially skilled knitters can understand and read. So to also shift a little bit, like who is able to understand, to read these technological instructions of how to make a radio. And the result, if you would follow this knitting pattern and use these materials that I just described, would be this knitted radio that is a sweater that you can wear and that would be able to transmit in a surrounding of a few meters. Thank you. And our back in the day when we built this project, that was also around the time where there were these huge protests in Istanbul, Turkey. So we had this sort of speculative scenario of a setting where a national broadcast infrastructure is shut down and it's not so easy to communicate because there is the authority that wants to prevent individuals to communicate with each other. And so we had this speculative question, what if like someone's mother or maybe even father would be able to knit their kids who would protest on this main square their own personal communication media. So it was sort of the background story to this project. That's also how we decided for the pattern that you see on the main surface of the sweater, that is sort of a protective eye pattern that is very established in Turkish culture. So from this first input of like knitting capacitors, coils and resistors, I wanna segue to the next project that I wanna talk about in a bit more depth here. And I wanna talk about embroidering coils and relays and how we went about, or how I went about discovering how to, or like exploring, experimenting, how to translate very, science experiment-like knowledge of how to build an electromagnet into like different textile techniques and textile patterns. So what you see here is something you maybe did yourself in high school to experiment how to build an electromagnet. So that's exactly how I started in thinking about how I can make a textile that can be actuated. And through this thinking about a textile that can be actuated, I was thinking about using maybe an electromagnet that can be actuated and then maybe switch, move something. So I started with like loads of experiments, embroidery in this case, because it felt like a very easy, having a surface that is already built and then add components or like materials in a certain form onto it. And also embroidery being a very, very long established century old technique that actually can include loads of different materials and little accessories. So I thought that may be a good starting point. So what you see here is again, the same copperware that we used before to knit the capacitor, but here wound in a donut form to form a coil. And then what you see here is the same coil, just like there's a few white stitches around it. And you see this coil being powered by a battery, by a switching battery. And what you see inside the coil is a magnetic pearl that is painted white on one side and black on the other side. So when you switch plus and minus side of how you power the electromagnet, like the coil, you have the white or the black and white painted bead in the middle switching. For those of you for whom an electrical schematic is easier to understand, this is what would be the notation for that. So thinking about having one coil, one bead that can flip, the next step was thinking about actually there can be more than one bead flipping. So you could build up maybe a whole display out of embroidery and beads and very traditional established craft techniques, which, by the way, is how many of the old displays in train stations were operated specifically by the same mechanism. What you see here is like a sort of experiment of having more than one of these elements next to each other. And going on from that, there was this idea, what if those beads are not just having two different colors, in this case, black and white, but if they also are maybe conductive on one side or can switch through a signal through them being turned or not being turned. So basically how this structure can be used to make a relay that can have like a open and closing, can be an open and closing switch, or even like have more than one open and closing position at once. So very first experiment was painting the bead not in white, but with a conductive copper paint. And then you see it here, once it's flipped to the downside, it's connecting through a signal that makes the LED then light up. So this was this first step of having an element that you can address, that like that you can address through this bead that is like changing, that is moving, that you can address so it changes its visual appearance, but that you can also address so it changes sort of its functional appearance, whether it does conduct electricity through or not. And from this very first experiments on, we went on to think about how we can use this this mechanism to embroider a computer. And we went about to think about how individual relays can build up individual logic gates and how the assemblance of these individual logic gates can be used to eventually build up a whole computer. Again, this was also a collaborative project with Ebro-Quebec. So what you see here is the exact same mechanism that we saw before, where you had this black and white speed flipping. But here, we used gold embroidery materials. And instead of the black and white being the two different sides of the bead, we see this gold bouillon wire. That's the specific name they use in gold embroidery for this material, falling to one side or to the other side. And through falling on one side or to the other side, where it falls on this silver thread, it can switch through different signals. It can have two states, which very well translates to this binary logic of computers where you have zero and one. So basically through this, through how this bead is falling, it can simulate or switch through a signal for zero or for one. And again, in this project, it was very important for me to really orient myself along traditional crafts, along materials that are existing for a really long time. And why this is important for me, it's because the material exists for such a long time, there is actually people that really know how to treat those materials well and how to craft with them well. So I reached out to people who have this skill, who really learned how to treat these materials, who know what patterns mean what in a specific context. And what you see here is actually a traditional headpiece from the area of Upper Austria in Linz, where I currently work, where this gold embroidery is very traditional. And when you see here a picture of a part of the computer, you maybe see a certain resemblance, definitely in the material, but also in the shapes that we ended up using. And yeah, that's the computer from the backside, just to show you that there's no other standard electronic hardware part involved other than a power source. But all the other conducting and moving and shape state changing elements are made out of embroidery materials and embroidery techniques. And here you see how the piece is flipping through on different levels once programmed. So much to that, to embroidery as a very specific technique and associated materials of how you can sort of incorporate shape changing or actuating elements, in this case actuated by electromagnetism. And I think as a sort of parallel, I want to also quickly show you the experiments that we did with crochet in the same domain, just so you see how much difference switching the technique makes to the final artifact, and how you can shape the appearance and also the production process very much whether you have embroidery or crochet in this case. So you have here the very same element, but in a crochet element, and this form and this functionality comes from a very, again, in the Turkish culture, very established form of having these hexagons connected to each other to build up blankets or dish covers. As a process to build up a computational crochet unit, we went to Turkey during a festival and asked a lot of amateur professional crochet persons to help us crochet these individual elements that would then be combined into the computational unit of a crochet computer.
Ben de küçük yaşta annem şey yapardı. Verirdi elimize tığ, zincir çekin. Önce zincirleri dümdüz çekeceksiniz, ondan sonra. Sonra trabzan yapmayı öğretirdi. Tabii biz trabzan olarak değil de işte üstüne ip al, bir de ipsiz yap. İpsiz yaparsan sık, yine ipli yaparsan işte uzun bacak yapardık biz öyle. Benim dantelim çalışıyor mu?
My work, especially in the topic of electromagnetic textiles, focuses a lot on radio. And by radio, I mean also just like the radio as most people know it, like within the spectrum of the FM, AM, but also the electromagnetic spectrum and the radio in a, like a wider sense. The electromagnetism of the earth, of the universe, of the human bodies, etc. At this point, I really want to mention the work of Donna Haraway, who's instrumental in my research, who says the care of feeding of facts is a very important craft skill. Crafts are made in human historical circumstances, but they're not made up. Fiction is more like a gerund, a making. Fiction's imaginative boundaries are quite different. Its narrative rules are differently configured than the narrative rules in, let's say, evolutionary and ecological science, but there are so many contact zones. So I'm interested in the play, in the cat's cradle game between science fact and speculative fiction. And I think that kind of really sums up my interest in radio too, as I'm really kind of exploring the technical and scientific aspect of it, with the making of wearable and handmade antennas, but I'm also interested in the speculative aspect of it, which relates a lot to what Irene was talking about in trying to reimagine maybe a different way of producing technology or a different way of like thinking about the future of technologies that is a lot more like handmade, a lot more personalized or customizable, and kind of going beyond the realm of, you know, the massively produced electronics. So all of these explorations, I started maybe around 2014 with this project, which is called Divergence, in which, you know, riffing off the examples that I showed earlier, I started working with loop antennas. So in this project, I created these embroidered loop antennas that are incorporated in the sleeve of the garment. So I don't have more pictures. And I made this wearable. It's a dress that is connected to a microcontroller, if you see here in the small schematic. And there is a sound output, and there's also like a low pass filter, which is made from the zipper of the garment, which allows you to kind of like walk around, pick up electromagnetic sources, sonify them through a process of like data mapping, and also like play with the low pass filter of the sound. And I use this in a performative format, where I mostly use my wearables because I feel like with wearables, especially when you have an arts practice, it's really hard for people to kind of grasp what's happening with them, especially when they're not able to actually wear them. And using a performance setup really allows for people to experience or like share an experience or try to understand and relate to what's happening on the person that's wearing the garment.
I wonder, what do you see as being the challenges for inviting other designers to kind of work in this field, or what are the gaps that present that might be issues that, as a community of people looking at electromagnetic textiles, that we might need to address?
Well, I think one of the, I mean, that's a very obvious one, but I think this basic understanding of the textile materiality is is just super important when you want to work in the field, or like some willingness to manipulate the material, or ableness to experiment with different structures. Or I mean, and that's maybe very much shaped by how I approach the field, that that was very much something that dragged me into the field. This wanting to explore with different textile structures, and also like this need to like build them and rebuild them and make them again and again to explore changes or see differences. So if you're not into that, it may be a bit tricky to work in the textile domain, I would say. And I mean, this is both, I think, for the handcraft and for the more machine made thing, because still for that you need to have, I think, quite some understanding of the materiality and how those things play together, and how material and functionality intervene. Yeah, so I think that is something that's a really good start if you have some sort of love for the textile materiality, I would say.
But if they have, if we think about electronic textiles and the maturation of the field over the past couple of decades, it has not been, I mean, I can't think of another specific event like this symposium that has been focused on electromagnetic textiles from. Well, here it is a blended perspective, but let's say that includes quite strongly an art and design perspective and the textile perspective. And so there's something about, is there something about the time that this is happening for people who have been working in e-textiles for so many years? Why are we just coming around to electromagnetics now? Or am I wrong? And we've all been looking at it, but I've had my head in the sand for many years. Or, yeah, discussion point.
I totally agree. I mean, yeah, the materiality issue that Irene raised and James, but also, the technical know-how of both, like the crafting techniques when you make something that is handmade, but also like, the digital fabrication machines when you're doing something that is fabricated by a computer, or even just like the measuring equipment is another kind of level of difficulty that if you're not a trained engineer, it's really hard to overcome. And especially if you're not in an academic environment that you can, like, reach out to a colleague in another department and have some assistance with, it's definitely harder to resolve. And there are a lot of people like in smaller communities working with DIY electronics that are kind of like working through these issues. So, to reply to your question, if electromagnetism is something that's like being explored currently or not, I don't think it's explored currently, but I think that maybe the textiles community is kind of like starting to look at it more intensively now. It has always been explored in other kind of like little circles of communities of, people doing DIY electronics, or people in like the sound art community. And I feel like the textiles community is just starting to look at it because of its potential applications, especially with actuating fabrics. Thank you.
Just for fun, just to wrap up this session, I'm wondering if we can go through each of the speakers and perhaps each of you can provide some description for how you would describe the materiality of electromagnetism. And you can be as poetic with it as you want, or I don't know, as functional, or yeah.
For me, electromagnetic textiles and their materiality is electrifying. There's an energy that you can feel when like an antenna is radiating, or maybe I'm just too sensitive to it, but I always like hover my hand on top of it and I get like this weird kind of coupling sensation. Yeah, so definitely electrifying somehow, raising some sort of like extrasensorial awareness.
Somehow think about round shapes and how they can be integrated in whatever specific technique. And in my latest project in weaving, which is not an easy thing, but then it may still be possible. But it just makes you think about textile techniques on so many different structural levels. So yeah, I guess round, structural, and somehow hard to grasp.
Thank you.
How about you, Erin? Because I think your perspective is also really interesting. What would you say about how you perceive electromagnetic textiles?
Black magic. Yeah, just to keep it short, because I feel like I could actually riff on the poetics of it for some time, but it is some kind of like a an unknown. Yeah, I feel like I reach my hands into a void to try to pull something out and work with it. Yeah, so it's less formal, it's expansive and spatial, temporal, material that you can never quite touch, but you're constantly immersed in.